This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We continue to talk about important issues, and one of those is the Household Affordability Index, which is, I must say, showing a worrisome increase in food prices. Throughout the past 5 months, the Peter Maritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group has been tracking the cost of groceries in South Africa and has released the January 2021 Household Affordability Index, which shows that the average cost of the household food basket has actually increased. The Affordability Index tracks food price data from 44 supermarkets and 30 butcheries in Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town, Pietermaritzburg, and Springbok. The data shows that the average cost of the household food basket is 4,051 rands and 20 cents. So in this conversation, we'll unpack that, this particular data, with Ntombi Mbele, independent economist, as well as Mervin Abrahams, program coordinator, Pietermaritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group. And that's definitely what we are going to talk about. And of course, as somebody that buys groceries as well, would like to get your perspective as well. We'll take your calls on 0861987000, as well as on Twitter and on our WhatsApp line. It is 9 minutes after 11. We speak to our guests in a few seconds.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk with Thabiso Kotane.
And we say good morning to Mervin Abrahams. Mervin, good morning to you. Welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Thabiso, and good morning to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Thanks for making time. Ntombana Mbele, good morning as well, and welcome.
Morning. Good morning, Thabiso. Good morning to your listeners.
Thank you so much. Mervin, let me just start with you. Yeah, give us a perspective of what this data says and what you actually found as Pietermaritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group.
So, Thabiso, we have a basket of foods which contains 43 foods, quantities of which lower-income households have told us over the years that they tend to try and buy each month should they have sufficient money. So this basket contains very basic foods like 30 kgs of maize meal, 10 kgs of rice, 10 kgs of sugar, etc., because it's constructed for a household of 7 persons. And what we have seen in the 5 months leading up to January, so starting in September, is that the average increase in the basket has been 194 rand and 86 cents. And the cost of the basket now therefore stands at 4,051 rand and 20 cents. It is scary because for the first time, our basket really has breached the national minimum wage. So in a sense, it is more if you take a national minimum wage for January, which will be 3,321 rand, then with that, you won't even be able to buy our basket of 43 foods for a household of 7, let alone any other expenditures like transport, water, electricity, rent, etc. So food has become unaffordable in terms of the levels of income for South African workers.
This is very scary in Ntombana because the petrol price, we are told, will go up as well, which has got its own repercussions to food prices. We were talking about the railway system and its dysfunctionality. Somebody called and said my brother-in-law had to forgo the work because 60-70% of the money goes into taxis, and it would have been far much cheaper had the trains been operational. And generally, people in this country have had to forgo their jobs, have had to forgo portions of their salaries, and we find ourselves in this mess as well. Where are we going from where you're sitting in Ntombana?
I think just to start with, I think it's important that we have this kind of contextualized research when we speak about households in South Africa, and the reality that most of us live in. And so you rightfully mentioned that the petrol prices has already gone up and is also forecasted to go up again. And so you would have seen that the CPI numbers, when the food inflation numbers, when they came out, that essay has also said that food, non-alcohol beverages were the main drivers of inflation. So on a month-on-month basis, the inflation rose by just over 0.5%. And on an annual basis, it rose just about 6%. So what you have here is a misalignment where you've got food prices rising exponentially at a higher level than what households are able to afford. And so what that also means in this economy, in this context, is that we are having more and more incomes moving into the low income spectrum. And when you also put the issue of electricity, which is a part of the big concern that most households are struggling to kind of pay, is already alluding to you the crisis, the household crisis that most South Africans face, especially that has been exacerbated by COVID. And I think probably so, you know, when Martin also highlighted the minimum wage issue, I think you cannot look at the index of food and the rise in food inflation outside of looking at the affordability of households, which is through their income. So when you look at the minimum, the national minimum wage, for example, you've got the National Ministry of Employment and Labour saying that there has been a 3.8 annual increase. However, in context, you find that general workers only earned an increase of 76 cents per hour that they've earned, as well as the domestic workers have only, in real effect, earned 57 cents to the hourly rate that they've had. Now, even if you accumulate that, it still will not aggregate to the affordability that they need to meet their core staple fees. So I think moving forward, it is something that should be of great concern for government, for civil society, to say that our people are degressing into a more low-income household, and therefore even their ability to afford, you know, bread will start being questionable. And so I think that's the reality of this kind of report. And I think it should be taken to higher levels of government for serious consideration.
So, Mervin, who do you blame here? Because, you know, the farmers will tell you that they are also under pressure because of the petrol price and other, you know, economic forces. Then, I mean, how do you then as government say price freeze for bread, for sugar, for oil and for vegetables, while the same people are saying, look, we are also struggling to keep our heads above water? So in other words, you know, where do you start if you wanted to freeze this whole trend? Because like Ntombana has been saying, you know, different elements are putting pressure on this, the price of electricity, the price of petrol, and all of that. And it seems as if this is going to be an ongoing problem until further notice. And when that further notice is, your guess is as good as mine.
Yes, to be so. I would like to agree with my colleague. I mean, it's really a complex question, food prices. I mean, you know, to freeze food prices, for instance, to have price freezes is not always the best solution either. Because, you know, if we, for instance, bring down the cost of food too much, then of course we will chase farmers off their farms. And the other result of that, of course, will be that the farmers will pay their farm workers even lower wages than what they are currently earning. And then we will build up a cheap food systems off the backs of low farm worker wages, which is also something we don't want. So really what we've got to look at is there's one thing that we've been calling for, and we need greater transparency in the system. One example. So for instance, we've seen in the last 4-5 months that the price of maize meal has increased by 15%. We were also told mid last year that South Africa was having a bumper crop of maize. So we should have had a lot of maize coming through the system by now, which should have brought down the prices. The prices hasn't come down, instead it's gone up. what were the forces that drove these prices up? And where in the system did it? Because there's quite a long system from the farm gate until the point in the supermarket. So at what stage of the system did this prices increase? And was that commensurate to the value that was added to that good in order to increase that? I think once we have more data and clearer insight, then we can talk a bit better around the pricing side of things. But on the other hand, we also have to talk around the income side, because this is the food is only expensive, really, because we don't have enough money in our pockets. I mean, if I had 10,000 rand in my pocket and needed to buy this basket of food, it wouldn't be expensive to me because I could afford it. The only reason is because I've got 4,000 rand in my pocket and this basket is costing more than 4,000. Now the question, what do I keep? What do I throw out? Where do I manage this deficit? And that, I think, is an issue.
How complicated is the issue of price freezing? Because, Ntombana, I think we all agree that the Competition Commission has been caught napping on so many occasions, particularly with regards to pricing, to a point where even something like ginger would go up 300%. And one wonders where have they been all along and all of that. But, you know, where do you even begin to implement those measures? Because as Mervin also says, you know you don't want to do it too much to a point where you drive others out of business, per se.
Right. Well, I don't think, you know, we need to look at the matrices that operate outside of the supply and demand constraint, right? So when you look at something like ginger that all of us have been complaining about, is in as much as people can say the price of ginger has been rising up because of COVID and its medicinal, you know, benefits that people have been attributing ginger to, you also need to look at if that's fully reflective of the demand or are there other factors and be ahead or above the profit margins that are in play. So also speaking to the point that Martin has said that we don't want to drive people out of their businesses and we don't want to drive farmers out of their businesses, I think we also need to look at what becomes more sustainable. Is it sustainable for farmers to perhaps pay their employees a bit more in a way that will enable them to afford their minimum basic needs while not completely losing their margin and losing their profits, but losing a percentage of it? Because if you were to go into the books of most of these poultry companies and some of these, you know, the farmers, we would actually see that I think there could be some room that if there was a more collaboration between even the unions and they come and they say, you know, guys, perhaps would you be able just for 24 months until we can get back into an economic, you know, a vibrant economic society, that you can forego perhaps 2% and add that into the affordability of your employees. I think that should be considered. I feel that the idea that, you know, if we charge them more or they pay their employees substantially a bit more, it's going to run them out of business. I think we kind of need to revisit that, because I think once we realize that we are all pressed to a corner and that the going concern of those businesses depends on employees, like you rightfully mentioned earlier on, not deciding to work because it's not beneficial for them, then you actually have a ripple effect that's not going to be sustainable. But I also think what the government and what institutions can do to also kind of assist with this is maybe we need to also revisit the VAT basket that we had introduced last year. Because I remember last year we had looked at opening up the VAT basket and including more goods into this exempted zero-rated food basket. I think we can also just expand ourselves more because the need has arisen. I think what is important in the society and in building social justice is that we always arise and, you know, kind of act in accordance to what the need is.
Yeah.
The need right now for households is to maintain a livelihood and is to be able to live below, I mean, above the breadline. I think all economic agents need to gear around that and perhaps just in a short time, kind of increase the basket to allow for people to become, you know, able to afford. I think that's the first one. And I think what is the reality here is that the rand value cost that people earn and what is needed to sustain themselves is not in conjunction.
I like the point that you are making, Tombana. It reminds me, Mervin, of an article that I raised on the latest issue of Time magazine. The author saying that they walked into a grocery store in Amsterdam, and the label on the zucchini said that the new labeling speaking about six cents per kilo for carbon footprint, 5 cents for tall farming takes on the land, four cents for paying workers fairly, and all of that. Don't you think that we also need to transform so that the consumer could also know what they are paying for if particularly prices are increasing?
Yes, not to be so. I mean, I think all of these are possible good suggestions. And I think that consumers are interested. But also the difference between the Netherlands and South Africa, of course, is that the majority of our consumers are really living way beyond the poverty line. And so questions around carbon footprint doesn't first come to mind. Affordability, what can I buy with a little bit of money I've got, is perhaps the greatest area of concern. And it's in that respect that I want to agree with what the previous speaker has said, that we look at other instruments. So, for instance, the instrument that she mentioned around VAT. If we decide to remove VAT from all South African-produced foods, critical foods, not luxury foods, critical foods, and we increase VAT on imported foods and on luxury foods, then we can calculate, because, we will bring then the price of locally produced food down. We don't upset the farmers, but it becomes a bit cheaper for consumers. And then also the kind of things that government has in its control. So, for instance, the increases in electricity, the increases in water, the increases in the petrol price, for instance, a large portion of which is taxed. Can we begin to manage that downwards so that actually your income goes further in terms of what you can buy, but those who are rich and want luxury goods, they can pay more?
Yeah.
So it's looking at those kind of instruments.
Tombana, do you agree with it as we round off this conversation that perhaps we need to be proactive, because in this country we are very good with being reactive on issues like this, and our long time planning is also quite horrible as well.
Absolutely. I really do agree with him. I think this is the kind of dialogue that we need, one that looks at solution and solution orientated, more than one that actually alleviates and further puts more light on the problem. Because I think rounding off, Tabiso, the reality is that on average, South Africans have to move around about 7,000 rand on deciding which, financial obligations do I pay, as reported by TransUnion in November. So we have a shortfall of around 7,000 rand on deciding whether do I pay my mortgage, do I service my car, do I pay for my children's school fees, do I buy food. And so if we can understand that we are in that paradigm as a society, and that the likelihood of people moving into low income but actually coming out on the other end is looking more and more bleak, I think any kind of solution that is feasible, any kind of solution that will be able to materialize in terms of, invigorating the rural economy and assisting households, I think should be, put on the table, and nothing should be left unturned.
Guys, thank you so much for participating in this very important discussion. Let's just hope that the powers that be are listening, because it looks like the situation is really, really getting out of hand as matters stand. One does not see any action being taken to stop it on its tracks for that particular matter. Mervin, thank you so much for talking to us, as well as yourself and Tombana. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tabiso, and thank you, Tombana. It was great.
Bye.
Thank you so much. There you go. Our discussion with our two guests there. So basically, what we are told by the Peter Maritzburg Economic Justice and Dignity Group is that the affordability according to the affordability index, they're stating that families are now paying an average of almost 200 rands extra per basket since they began tracking the data 5 months ago. The group based its data on prices from 44 supermarkets and 30 butcheries in Johannesburg. That is Soweto, Alex, Tembisa in Hillbro, Durban in Kwamashu, Umlazi, Ispingo, Durban, and Mtubatuba in Cape Town, Khayelitsha, Guguletu, Philippi, Delft, and Dunon, as well as the Springbok area in the Northern Cape. So basically, this is what it says. Maize meal up by 15%, rice up by 3%, cake flour 3% up, white sugar 5% up, sugar beans 33% up, samp by 7% up, cooking oil 4%, potatoes 4%, onions 2%, and white and brown bread 4 and 4% each. So the prices are going up even around the food prices. The petrol price had gone up by what, plus minus 40 cents, I think, in the last round. AA was telling us that this time around, for January, it is likely to go up by as much as 80 cents per liter. And we were having a discussion there with Eskom last week. They were telling us that there's going to be a 10% increase. And the analyst was saying that ChapShap, they are looking for another 10% increase in another 3 months or so. And Eskom was actually saying that we're actually paying 30% less for what we should be paying for electricity as matters stand. And therefore, this price will continue to go up and up and up, unfortunately. So it's bad. While people are losing jobs, while salaries have been cut, and salaries that have been cut, some of us don't know until when. You know, companies are not even telling us until when. But, you know, I think there is a general appreciation of the fact that even if your salary has been cut by 40%, 30%, at least you still have a job. Some people have been told to go home, that there is no job. And then what happens? You know, people that have been relying on social grants to keep the wolf out of the door have been told that ChapShap, at the end of this month, that's it. You will see what to do. You will fend for yourself. And these are poor people with no skills and all of that. So it's bad, guys. To what extent are there any solutions to this? Your guess is as good as mine.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.